I'm escaping to the one place that hasn't been corrupted by capitalism. Space!
The Overlord drinking Cisco, chilling with the gold microphone cords, and we grip our balls every time we stuntin' on tour, cause we never bore, responding to the ready crowds roar, and promoters try to hit us with the audible. We about our business, we not quitters, not bullshitters, we deliver, we go getters, don't be bitter, cause we not just niggas.
Jerobi, my fire wove into different cloth. Ain't nothing forbidden, this nigga kid is written off. Hard to spit in the city, y'all niggas spitting, getting self-confused in the maze.
Hi, and welcome to the Unnamed Movie Podcast, this is Andrew.
This is a very full Damien.
where Douglas go? So how's that Teresa doing, Douglas? Like, did she come up with a good plan, or what's going on?
Well, I mean, let's say this about the plan. It really brought everybody together.
Oh, oh yes. That it did.
That's a nice way to look at it. I'm so happy. I'm so happy for her. She's done such a great job.
She's but done
moving right
job.
Along.
Yeah.
Moving right along.
I would argue she's done the best job.
I don't see anyone who would do a better.
Oh, that this situation week is so ridiculous. Anyway,
speaking of ridiculous situations,
we're
this
here
is not
together.
The unnamed Brexit podcast
to talk about the film First Reformed by one Mr. Paul Schrader. I just realized I made a mistake because I saw the word first and my brain went with it. So we're here together to talk about Damien Chazelle's First Man, right?
Okay.
I legit made a mistake talking.
For a second, I thought you were trying to funnily say that you made a mistake when you read it, and so you watched First Reformed.
Nope. I would never have made such a mistake. I would have come here without having seen the film.
Only Damien makes such mistakes.
Are you sure?
Yeah. Be an Avenger.
First man to walk on the moon. That'd be something.
We've chosen a job so difficult, requiring so many technological developments. We're gonna have to start from scratch.
But yes, forgetting all of that shenanigans, we're here to talk about the latest musical by one Mr. Damien Chazelle, Mr. Jazz Hands himself. As he takes Ryan Gosling once again to the moon, as he did last time. But this time, he's actually playing Neil Armstrong. Douglas?
Fly me to the
moon.
Yes,
sir.
They should have, I'm pretty sure, like, someone offered that song at some point.
Yeah. And he said, it's not that type of movie, dog.
Douglas, you love musicals, don't you?
I do, and I have to tell you, the grand finale where Ryan Gosling danced with an alien version of Emma Stone was fantastic.
Sweet. So, tell me about this
the
movie.
The CG work was bad.
Okay, so I have seen both of you put reviews of this movie up on Letterboxd, and I would like to say to each and every one of you individually, go fuck yourself.
Incorrect.
This movie sucks.
So, all right, Douglas, I want you to do me a favor. And before you continue any further, I want you to ignore the fact that Neil Armstrong is a real human being. And no, proceed.
He's not
right,
a real
so
human
So here's
being.
The thing. Me and Damon have had this conversation already, and I'll leave it at that. You guys can continue. No, but
this podcast would be the worst.
I know, right? If we just always did that. So here's the thing. Under normal circumstances, I would take that as valid criticism. However, you have to recognize something here, Andrew. There were just too many boxes that were ticked for this movie. I love Damien Chazelle and all. Well, when I say all, both his movies that he's made previously.
Inimascope.
Inimascope. Ryan Reynolds, my God. Mm-hmm. Ryan Gosling.
Ryan Coogler. Yeah. Ryan Johnson.
Ryan Gosling is great. I have loved him for a long time. And him being attached to anything means I'm automatically going to watch it and mm-hmm. want to love it.
I'm going to be upset if you don't give Kyle Chandler some love before you get into the shit show.
All right. Is that Coach?
Yes.
I don't care about him. I know that people love him. And when I say I don't care about him, I'm not saying that in a bad way. I just am completely apathetic. Yeah. I don't give a fuck.
Right? You don't have a connection with him.
Yeah, I don't have that connection.
Yeah. He's in movies.
Exactly.
He plays the same character every single time.
You guys have that connection because you watched that one show where he was a coach.
Yeah.
And apparently he was great.
And that show was bad.
Yeah, okay. There you go.
Shut the fuck up.
Hey, Friday Night Lights. Hey, here's a hot take. No. How about that? And I like football now and still no.
Yeah. So I didn't watch that. And I've watched a lot of other things that he's in mm-hmm. where he's a very small part most of the time.
Yeah.
And he's adequate.
He plays Stoic McStoic. You know?
He's fine. He does not detract from this movie. Let us move on.
Oh, shots fired.
So, right. Ryan Gosling, great.
Coogler. Ryan Reynolds. Ryan Shazier.
And then even when you get into the movie, probably adjacent to Damien Chazelle is the fact that his soundtrack is great.
Tremendous.
You know, it's obviously filmed very well. It looks great. All sorts of teams played all sorts of hard, right? But at the end of the day, it caught me because even though I went into this film with the greatest of expectations, I ended up at the same point that you guys thought I started at, which is that this is just a movie about a guy who did a thing. And it really didn't bring me into it. So, and I was talking to Damien. And by the way, there are quite a few good things about this movie. And I'll talk about that later. But I just want to go through a few of the reasons why fuck this movie.
All right.
And actually, it's not even really... I'm exaggerating because I'm upset.
Yes.
This movie is just average.
Yeah. Both teams played hard for you in this movie.
Yeah. But the real core of my problem with this movie mm-hmm. is, and I'll make a comparison, the same one that I made before, and I will also preface it by saying that I have watched some of it recently, and I realized that this movie I'm about to speak to and kind of hold up as the better version mm-hmm. Is probably not as good as I remember it. So that's mm-hmm. put out there. But when I watched The Aviator, when I was a young boy,
before you didn't like real people.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. I really love that movie. And one of the things that it did extremely well, right? So it ticked the same boxes. Actor, check. Director, check. Technicals, triple check. Mm-hmm. Right? It ticked it all the same boxes. Yeah.
That's when Spielberg was playing hard.
Yeah, absolutely. essentially, right? That movie gave you not just a great acting thing from DiCaprio, which, to be fair, he got a character where he could kind of just go over the top. But essentially, you are with that character for such a long period of time, and you are put in the sort of situations that allowed you to side with him, to be emotionally invested in who this person is, how they're going to develop, what's going to happen. I did not feel that way with this movie. This movie, yes, I was with Ryan Coogler for a very long time. He is obviously in most of the frames of this film.
Right.
Ryan Reynolds does mm-hmm. a great acting job. I actually really like how... And he does this in a lot of his movies, he can change even the slightest thing, whether it is in his mannerisms, how he moves, or how he talks. And in this particular movie, it was more the accent, more how he speaks, to become, you know, somebody else. But you were with him a lot, but it didn't feel, it felt more disjointed because of the way that the story was presented. And you didn't really, or I didn't really then become or start to empathize with him. Obviously, bad things happened to him over the period of the movie. He, you know, had his flaws. He was driven. But at no point did something happen and I reacted for him the way that I would react for, you know, Leonardo DiCaprio. So at the end of the day, this film became a movie about a guy who did a thing but wasn't particularly interesting, which is what most biopics are, right? And actually, some biopics, at least this biopic had somebody who did a thing. There's some biopics where they didn't really do a thing. And they're not interesting, right? So, you know what, Damien Chazelle, at least you had that, or you got a part right.
You know, I've been thinking about this, right? And I think this is the question I really want to pose to you, Douglas, at this stage of the game, having heard you discuss all biopics for the last eons of filmmaking.
Yes.
Can you name me one real person who you were actually interested in? Historically, nothing to do with movies.
I don't think about people that way, right? So, the thing is...
Oh, my God.
So, for example...
I hate Douglas.
No, but I don't.
No, I hate you because you literally said the thing I was going to say.
So, here's an example, guys. So, a lot of times, people die, right?
Actually, statistically... Okay. Everyone does.
There you go.
There's 7 billion people, so I think your statistics are wrong.
Right, so people die, and some of them are famous.
Oh, yeah, that's true, yeah.
And when famous people die, a lot of people get very emotional. I don't understand that.
Never have.
So, like, just random people will send condolence messages on Twitter and Facebook as if they were friends.
Like they knew the actual person.
Exactly, right? And how I can understand somebody, like, saying to themselves privately or talking in a conversation or even, let's say, putting it on social media to say, boy... this person died. It sucks because we won't be able to have some of the things. All right, fine. Right? Like, because I felt that way with a few people.
Yeah.
Sure.
Prince.
But, yeah, definitely. But the superlative nature of some of these things just don't make sense to me. And that's just an example of what I'm talking about. So if you say to me, Andrew, who do you respect or who is your hero? Or, like, I don't have one. Right? Yeah, yeah. That would be... I'd be much more likely to have that as a hero than a person that I don't know. Yeah. Right? Like, I can look at maybe somebody's achievement and respect it.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah.
That's as far as it goes.
Not to diminish what the people do. Like,
and not to diminish the people either.
Yeah.
But guess what? I don't know them.
I've said that for you know? My entire life.
And I know that that's just me, and I'm a real fucked up guy. But I'm a fucked up guy.
And there's a lot of hero worship in this room.
You know, Damien, you know the part that upsets me the most of all of this?
What?
Is that Douglas picked this movie, didn't he?
No, I didn't. I picked this movie.
Oh, okay. All right, never
mind. I picked next week's
never
movie.
Mind.
Yeah.
All right.
No, man, I bought this movie.
I wanted to watch this movie hard.
Yeah.
I was so looking forward to it. I wanted to love it.
He knew it.
I was worried that the movie that Douglas saw was going to be the movie that I saw. And there was every chance that it would be.
Oh, of course.
But
here's where,
like, well, hold on, before we move on, I do at least want to say some positive things about the film, because there are a lot of
the teams played hard,
but in particular, one thing that I loved, and it's almost like, of course, I'm going to find the amusing thing for me to love about the film, but so this is essentially a shittier version of The Right Stuff.
Another movie about real people.
Oh yes, God. It is. It's literally this movie, The Right Stuff, which I haven't watched fully, but I do enjoy every second of what I have watched.
Sentence I've heard all year.
But hold on. What I did really love about this movie was, like The Right Stuff, because it's the same story, or at least the same universe, whatever, however you want to describe it. All of these people are put together, and essentially they're friends, but they're competitive, and they're all looking towards the same goal, which is, I want to be the guy. I want to go to the moon. Mm-hmm. I want to be the one on the proper trip where we're doing all of this. And everybody, like, people are nice and whatever, but two things. Mm-hmm. One, fucking Buzz Aldrin is
real garbage.
Oh, I can never remember the actor's real name, but I love
Corey Stoll.
Corey Stoll, yes. And he,
killing the game.
He's killing the game. And what he does, what I love about him in almost every role that he's in, I feel like he picks up the script, he reads through it, he puts it back down, kind of whispers to the director, he says, "I've got this." And the director says, "Sure, great." And in his mind, what he's trying to work out is, how can I make what's on the page just fucking ridiculous?
10 times worse.
Yeah. but he is a straight up asshole.
He's a bad person.
But the great part of how he's an asshole is that he's like an oblivious asshole. He's the asshole where you're like, dude, come on, don't be an asshole. But you think he's probably not that horrible. He's just...
No, it's true.
It's, yeah,
yeah, but shut up.
And what I did really like, on top of that, Neil Armstrong, Ryan Reynolds, he was a bit of an asshole.
Ryan Seacrest.
Right. All right, fine. he was a bit of an asshole as well. And what ended up happening is only the assholes went on the final trip. And I thought that was great. Right? I thought that was a cool thing. I don't know if it was intentional. I don't know. I imagine that them being that way was probably based on them actually having some of these tendencies in real life. Mm-hmm. So maybe they were, you know, Corey Stoll had to have overplayed his hand, but maybe they were like that. But I just like that narrative of just these assholes being the ones who were willing to do what needed to be done, or whatever it is, to go to space. Yeah, I mean, Claire Foy, she was all right. I'm still upset that I'm not going to get to watch her again in The Crown. That makes me sad, because literally, I don't care for her in anything else. Because she keeps doing shit like Steven Soderbergh films, and
she thinks she's better than us.
Between that and the fact that she's single-handedly fucked up a movie that I haven't watched, a Dragon Tattoo movie, she's screwed up the whole franchise. Upset.
I still want to see that movie, though.
I'm going to watch
Spider's Web.
I'm definitely going to watch it.
But in fairness, when that first movie came out, people shot all over that first movie as well. Yeah.
I did not.
I'm not talking you. Yeah. I'm just talking the internet. There's a lot of pushback on that movie. Yeah. And then we saw it. We're just like, I don't know what these lunatics are talking about. This movie's amazing. Mm-hmm. I'm hoping it's another scenario where people see it and they're just like, I don't like any of this. And then I watch it and go, this is exactly it. Yeah. This is what I came here for this.
And they had some cool scenes in this, like, let's call them action scenes.
Yeah.
Like, for example...
All the spaceships.
I love how the movie started, right? The movie started with... They didn't even start story. They were just like, all right, why don't we just show you really cool space stuff? And he essentially almost dies. He almost gets lost in space. And that's great.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, oh, so one last thing, because, of course, I have to end with fuck this movie.
Right.
Is this movie had so much going for it, right? It had a talent. It had everything. And I don't understand how a movie that has scenes with all of these great people and has lines like, you know, we need to fail down here so we don't fail up there, mm-hmm. with all of that passion and not be good.
Yes, they deserve to die.
that was... That line is on that line's level. Sorry, that's not true. But the line that Ryan Gosling gives is essentially, yes, they deserve to die of this movie.
Mm-hmm.
And
it didn't land.
It landed in the trailer.
Yeah.
mm-hmm. I was so upset that they couldn't build a movie around that
line. We need to feel Hiyasu.
Because actually,
so we don't feel
that would have been a much better movie. If the movie was literally just failure after failure after failure, which is used to build the machine, by the way, clearly happened because they show. No, it wouldn't be. But I don't need a movie about him.
Apollo 13. That I enjoy. Can't go watch Apollo 13.
I know, and I should watch. I actually haven't watched that movie, but I know a lot of people like it, and I've decided I like it because Tom Hanks is in it.
No, yeah, Douglas, you don't like that movie.
Peak pose. It was Tom Hanks, peak pose.
Douglas, so, you don't like it.
I know, it's... I shouldn't. But then, I do like the Hunt movie.
Red October?
The race car driver movie. Rush, something Rush or something like that.
The name of the movie is just Rush.
Oh, okay. And that movie is directed by the same director and is also kind of a biopic. So, yeah.
I don't remember. Did you watch Senna?
I did not. Okay. But I know.
Don't?
But no, everybody loves it.
Yeah. That's why I don't want you to watch it. I want to hear any of your bullshit. Keep that shit to yourself. So, unlike Douglas, I think Ryan Fitzpatrick did worked his ass off.
Are you just searching Ryan names?
No, I'm just thinking through my head of all the Ryan names. I was going to use Fitzpatrick again, but call him Fitzmagic because they called him that earlier this season.
I don't know who Ryan Fitzpatrick is.
He's an NFL player. He's terrible. He's a quarterback.
Oh, so we could use like Ryan Gibbs.
Yeah. Right. I was going to use Ryan Gibbs.
You have to save that one for me though.
Ryan Sejier. Just a lot. I was going to end with Jack Ryan. That was going to be my final joke.
Yeah. But I hear you. But I mean, so let's talk about Ryan Destiny.
Idiot. Yeah, Douglas is wrong because the movie's good. what Ryan did you find?
Let's just say that we were talking about a space movie.
Yeah.
So at some point, we need to call him by his correct name, which is Ryanair.
Fair enough. So, First Man. Like Douglas said, even though he's pretending not to like this movie, I'll accept his apology 6 months from now or 12 months from now, whenever he rewatches this movie and realizes he's a crazy person. The teams played hard. Everyone. Worked their ass off. Including shit that I try not to pay attention to, like the sound. Not just the music, but how everything sounds. It felt a lot of times like you are in a rickety tub that someone was trying to shoot into outer space. Everything sounded broken. It was terrific. The story is the story. I knew he was going to make it. Spoilers for this movie. He makes it. But what fascinated me about this movie, and what a lot of biopics don't get right, is this movie while focusing on his achievement, also showed that he was a actual person and that the thing that he did, while spectacular, took a lot out of him and almost ruined him as a person. And it was fascinating seeing him do all the things that I have been taught for all of my life, that these are the things men do. He lost a daughter, and instead of doing what you're told to do now, which is open up and tell everybody and let people in and help and therapy and all of that, he did the thing that men used to do, that a lot of men still do, that I secretly hope to do at some point, even though I know I'm not supposed to, which is you take all that pain, you push it down as far as possible, and you bury yourself in something else. And his something else just happened to be the most ridiculous thing.
Damien, the man pain is fuel.
You're an idiot.
Feed on the pain.
Ta-da-na, ta-da-na. Anyways. He did the thing. He's just like, I'm pushing all this shit down. I'm not talking. I'm not going to talk about it with my wife. I'm not talking to friends, to family, co-workers, nobody. Y'all, fuck off. When they interviewed him and they're just like, so you think the thing that happened to your daughter will affect you? He's just like, yeah. Yeah? Yeah. And you go, yeah, that's how you're supposed to react. When shit happens, you either crumble and cry like a little bitch. like 2018, 2019 men are supposed to do. Goddamn snowflakes. Or you toughen up. You push that shit down. You let it turn into cancer and kill you 40 years from now. But in the meantime, you get shit done. And that was what fascinated me and what pulled me through the movie. Watching him essentially destroy his life, all his relationships, because he wasn't able to cope. Not properly. He used this as a coping mechanism. I'm hoping that after he came back, that he rectified his life. And based on everything that I've ever heard about him, he seems like a good dude. But in this movie, he's the opposite of that. He's the worst person. And you've worked with people like that. People who seem too intense for the thing that they're supposed to be doing. But you don't understand why, and they're never going to tell you why. What I also
enjoy, really did like the scene where Houston says to him, we need a status update. And his response is, no, I have too much work to do.
Yeah. He's just like, no talking. I also enjoyed how they captured the space flights. Every single one of them. And I said this to Douglas earlier, but at the start of the movie, he bounces off the atmosphere. And that is a thing I've read in books for years and years and years, right? I understand that it is a thing that can happen, but I've never seen it depicted because it would be very difficult to do so. But if you give a director $1 trillion and say, you go make this movie, he can get it done. And so it was fascinating seeing that. It was also fascinating seeing all of the technical bits, all of the, oh, if you spin this fast for this long, these things happen, and how he countered that. And like all of the space bits, even though you knew in the end everything would work out, there's still this sense of dread every single time there was any kind of space flight. Because you know this was the first time they were working this out. It is a miracle they landed on the moon. It should not have happened. It is equal parts incredibly engineering and the dumbest thing man has ever tried. But watching this movie, I enjoyed getting a sense of the man, the myth, Ryan Giggs. His performance, it's tremendous. And I like the thing they did at the very end, which I had never heard about in like any other write-ups of these things. And maybe he kept that a close secret until recently. And I won't spoil what that is, although it's not much of a spoiler. But it did tug at my heartstrings.
What, sorry? What happened?
He has a trinket with him when he's on the moon. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It is tremendous, this movie. And the only reason I didn't give this movie the full 100%, 5 out of 5 stars, is because while I appreciated that this movie respected me and understood that I would piece together, you know, just how difficult it would be for the women in these movies, in these situations. They have his wife in the movie, but she is a prop. I would have liked if they had spent more time really letting me understand just how shitty her entire situation was. And it was bad, but they kind of gloss over it. She has the most dour, terrible line, most powerful line in this movie. She's in a car and someone had passed and she said, oh, when we were at the previous location, 4 of our pilots died. And she's like, that year we got real good at funerals, which is a thing no human should have to say. And so I wanted to spend, even, I understand it is not her movie, but she's there. You could have given me some more. I was also going to make a dumb joke about the title of the movie. It should have been First Human. Stop being so sexist. But I like the movie too much. And so I don't need to make fun of it. Because it's good. Buzz Aldrin is a drunkro. I think that is the technical term for his behavior in this movie. And it's fun. He's the worst. I loved when Ryan Fitzmagic looked at him and because he's like, I'm just saying what everyone's thinking. And he's just like, or you can shut the fuck up. Or that. Or that. And like, I really, really do enjoy this movie. Like, most of the times we come on here and biopics are boring, trudges through the sequence of a person's life that people think are fascinating, but really aren't that fascinating. And it doesn't give you any insight into this person. It's just, these are the things that happen. And he's a great man. Congratulations, roll credits. This gave me a little bit more. And I enjoyed it. I really, really did enjoy it. And I know what my fear is that he did this so that he can do more movies like La La Land. Like, he just did this because someone said, all right, we gave you your dancing movie. That made us a ton of money. But you already said that if we allow you to make your shitty dancing movie, you'd make us our goddamn biopic. I know he's free to make more dancing.
Yeah.
I'm afraid that is what is going to happen.
But of course that's what's going to happen.
But that's not what I want. I want more of this movie, right?
Mm-hmm. This movie was his response to the Oscars. He's like, you motherfucker. I tried so hard with it. Right. You know what? All right.
I tried being fun.
100% serious.
Yeah, I tried being fun and it backfired.
And you're going to give this fucking award to
I lost to the most serious movie of all time. Gay black men, how am I to compete with that? Here's what then. The First Man, goddammit.
You know what?
The most American
American.
You don't
like this movie. Yeah. You don't like America.
You don't like America. No, you don't say the
and
A.
And this year he gets to lose to Black People in Love. So, you know.
Black People in Love?
What movie is that?
Green Book?
Beale Street.
They Fall in Love?
No, Beale Street sucks. Green Book sucks. Both those movies are bad movies.
Probably.
I've
I've seen both of them.
Oh, yeah?
I don't like any of them.
Oh, wow. I was still holding out hope for Green Book, but all right, fair enough.
All right, let me not say sucks. Are actively on fire.
That helps.
Oh, by the way, so seeing as we ended up talking about Oscars.
Yes.
Has anybody noticed that there's a certain other black people movie in the awards for I hope Best it Picture? Wins.
Wakanda Forever.
So do I, right? And here's the thing.
Yeah.
I'm at two extremes because I really wanted to win for all the wrong reasons.
Oh, no, that's where I am.
But I don't want it to win because nobody will realize how wrong those reasons are. They'll all think they're the right reasons.
No, but we will. So, like, it's Douglas, like, it's too late. It's already nominated, so it's already too late. It might as well win at this point.
They'll still think, they'll still be like, yeah, but that was important.
Exactly. when we will go, that wasn't the best comic movie that came out that year, so it can't win. I want it to win so that a lot of people can pretend that progress is being made. Just ignore what is causing these problems.
I don't even get progress to the problems. I want it to win so people can realize how ridiculous it is they're putting value onto this shitty, all of these awards.
No, but
things.
It will. Remember the artist?
Do you remember how self-satisfied people like Andrew Robinson were when the artist came out?
I remember liking that movie.
Yeah, but dog. Yo, dog. Yo, dog.
Hey, don't you dare anything bad about
Best
that
picture?
Dog.
Mm-hmm. Best picture. For real, though? Douglas,
it was in black and white.
Yeah, I get it. I heard all the arguments as to why it should win.
And there were no words.
I heard all the arguments. And what I said was, but you're wrong, though. I won. And I was so happy.
I don't remember what year or what that came out with, but I wouldn't argue with you that
The Googles.
It's not the best of that year because it won the Oscar.
Mm-hmm. And no, for us it means then that is clearly not the best movie. Because
I think I know like Black Panther.
I think only
less
the Hurt Locker.
Nominated.
I think only the Hurt Locker was the
I
one.
Like the Hurt Locker,
yeah, the Hurt Locker was the only one where when it won, I was just like, yeah, you guys did it. But most of the time.
And wasn't it the Hurt Locker when after it won, everybody kind of gave it shit and was like, oh, they bribed to get it or something like that.
Oh, I didn't. I was too happy that they finally got one right.
The artist
was 2011.
The year the artist won, the other films nominated were The Descendants, Extremely Loud and Incredibly Close, The Help.
Uh-huh.
Oh my God.
Hugo.
Uh-huh.
I like Hugo.
Midnight in Paris.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Moneyball.
That movie is, listen.
The Tree of Life. And War Horse.
So here's the deal, right? I'm not going to necessarily argue
that is
one
best,
movie
that is, the best
is
a, nomination
a better movie than the
because
other.
Because none of the movies I would have picked are on that.
I have watched A Midnight in Paris 1,000 times.
Oh, no. It's a fun movie.
It's great.
Guess what else came out?
What else?
Drive. Warrior.
Oh, come on.
Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy.
Really?
Wait. Girl with the Dragon Tattoo came out.
All right. So is it that we need to like do a
Take Fucking Shelter came out that year.
Is it that we need to
Melancholia.
Do a Tom Pam
Source Code came out that year.
Yeah.
Right? Crazy Stupid Love came out. A Separation came out.
It's official. I think what we're gonna have to do this year is we're going to have an official Trump approved anti-Oscars ceremony.
Wasn't that our top 10 of year?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's our top 10 of year.
And even this year we did categories, so I mean, weren't we already anti-ing the Oscars?
Like, yeah. Rango and Margin.
We can just put it back out and pretend
a dangerous method.
A Dangerous Method. Why do I remember that name? Oh, that's the one about Freud?
Yeah.
I never watched that movie. Is it good?
You should. It's real good.
Okay.
No, Douglas, it's not.
It's a reverse psychology shit that he used.
It's about real people. It's not good.
Seems Andrew poorly timed. Yes. Seems poor. Andrew's very chippy because he don't like First Man.
If only he had done that about a Golden God, maybe I would have liked that movie.
Speaking again of us First Man, Andrew Robinson, we've not heard your
hot take.
So this week I saw.
Yes.
Not First Man, because we're not talking about that anymore.
We're done? All right, cool.
Do you want me to talk about First Man?
No, you love it. Yeah. I mean, you loved his last movie, and he made another movie. We can assume, we can cut and paste A La Land in Inimascop with this movie.
The truth of the matter
is, I love it, so you love
it. I came out to this movie last year when I saw this movie thinking it was okay.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Thinking they did the things, right? Pretty much everything Douglas has talked about, with a lack of the vitriol for the fact that it's a real person.
Well, all right, to be fair, I just want to make it clear. The vitriol is really because you guys love it so much.
Yes.
I think this movie is fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know that's where you really fall down, but you just throw vitriol for fun, right? Yeah.
That's what we do on this podcast.
Right. I'm actually quite pleased that you forced me to watch this again, because I wasn't sure if I was actually going to. Because now I got into all the things you love about this movie, Damien. I got into all of the technical bits. Like, I came to realize how well Chazelle created tension just through his, as you guys like to put it, let's call them action scenes.
Yes.
Right? Where you come to realize that at any given moment, at each step of this movie, these guys could all die in a moment. At their point in this movie where they show this to you bluntly, where we actually see a lot of people die within a moment, yep, where they have no control over what is really going on. And I loved pretty much everything that was going on in this movie. I do think overall, like, just looking back on it, that this isn't my favorite movie, right? It is still a movie I respect with high regard, right? It is a movie that, if we want to get into said sort of a debate, I would happily kick Black Panther out of the nomination list if we're going to really debate this shit, right? But we're not really going to debate this shit, so let's not talk about that.
There's another movie, man, you need to debate to kick Black Panther out of the list. But that's after you finish with this movie. We're going to have a fight, me and you, on this podcast.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Me and you are going to fight.
And I'm going to chime in, because now I have some help.
Yeah.
You mentioned Claire Foy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to lie. I didn't see... Kind of like how Douglas wanted to shit on me when I wanted to kind of give my one-ups to Kyle Chandler. I don't have the connection to Claire Foy. And I viewed her role in this movie as being the generic
wife
secondary
person.
Female role, where they really don't have that much to do. You talked about the scene where she says that they got really good at funerals. Truth, the scene that I think about with her in this movie is the time... there are two moments, right? There's a time where she asks the friend, has he talked about Karen to you? Right? Yes. The daughter. And you're like, oh, cool. And then there's a time where she shows up after they've cut off the feed.
Yeah.
Right? Where she looks at them and says, guys, I understand that. I understand that you think I'm a child, but turn that shit on or you're not getting rid of me.
Okay, and I love you.
You want me to believe that you think I'm this loving wife that will do anything you say. Now, look, I'm willing to buy into the house and the fact that you guys are willing to murder each other. Right. Turn on the goddamn radio. Right.
Remember how you said you will die down here so you don't die up there? I will kill all of you down here.
And pilot the goddamn spaceship back home myself.
You don't turn on the goddamn feet.
Like,
all right.
There's things about this movie that I adore. One of the things that I keep remembering, you talk about die down here. That comes off of the scene where they're testing this this landing device is the only way I can describe it, and he fails, as they do repeatedly throughout this movie. But just the way that, it's a landing device.
No, you see, the landing you're device. An asshole. The reason I laughed at what he said is because that's exactly what it is. It's a landing device.
Like everything about how that scene plays out, like just like how the movie opens, where they just throw you into space, literally, right? And
spice.
Yes, actually, if you look a little to the left, you'd have seen Tim Curry just jumping for joy and being like, "No, they're coming!"
Just whispering to him, "I'm going to the one place no one will ask me about my daughter."
I actually found it interesting how this movie stayed relatively far away from the social history, right? I mean, you see them mention like the Russian and the Sputnik as you're going along. There's like one off scene where you see people.
Why are they on the moon?
Yeah, why are they on the moon? I was trying to think of the word. Protesting. Protesting is the word I was thinking of. Protesting this thing. And to me, it becomes more of like this. He weaves it into almost as just like a fun music background to like the action scene we're watching, as opposed to me really thinking about the fact that, oh, there was like social unrest about all of these things going on.
He's treating us like adults. He's just right. Like, listen, I just need to show little bits and pieces to remind you that there was a world out there that was also dealing with this shit. But then he's just like, piece of shit together yourself. I'm telling this story.
And I understand that factually, there is a human being in this world who existed. I'm not sure if he's dead. Neil Armstrong. Named Neil Armstrong. And there's a person called Buzz Aldrin. And all of these people have real people versions of them. But I don't take this to be a real person watching this movie, which is why I think me and Douglas always have this divide on these films, right? Because I see Ryan Gosling's portrayal of Neil Armstrong the same way that I think we want to talk about Jessica Chastain's character in Zero Dark Thirty, right? I see them as driven people who do every and anything to get to their end goal. And the way this movie portrays that drive, right, where, as Damien repeatedly says, it doesn't hold our hands. This is one of the least expository films you're ever going to see. Even when they actually have to explain shit, where they're literally explaining rocket science to these people, they do it in such a manner where it is played as a fun, ridiculous joke. Where they're like, we're studying chapter one, and if you realize, you see the page actually say chapter one, pages 1 to 605, and then they die of shock, and then they move on, right? And this movie does that repeatedly, over and over and over, and actually really like that. No, like 4 months ago when I saw this movie, I came out of it and I was like, well, it was just another movie where we went from point A, which is literally the ground, to point B, the moon, and people acted well. Today, I watch this again and I'm like, yeah, I really like this movie. Like, I think I would have probably tried to bring this up in our top 10 at this point if I had rewatched it before we had gone into the podcast. And I'm upset that I didn't. I think I like this movie more than I like it.
I know I like this movie. Like, a lot.
And that upsets me, Damien, because that's 2 weeks running that we like the movie and Douglas doesn't.
I think this might be a trend. I think Douglas doesn't like movies anymore.
I think that is true. I think that's very... I mean, we've known this for years, right?
Based on recent evidence, he is drawing a line in the sand. He's just like, listen, everything it is before and after a night steal. Zit, drawn my line. Drawn my line. Sorry, it's Thor Ragnarok. It is before Thor Ragnarok. I'm still Thor Ragnarok. I'm calling it. I've had enough.
seen enough of this. Skux
life.
Skux life. I've said that out loud. People have heard me. No one has questioned what that means. I think they think it's a rap thing. They're kind of right. Mostly wrong, though. Boy. I need to... This Saturday, I'm going to wake up early, make some breakfast. I'm going to watch Skux Life again.
That was the movie I watched the last day of the year.
Just to be
last
happy.
Year.
Just hunt for the goddamn wilder people. Right? No sports. No, none. Just go. I need to feel good.
That's when you put on Paddington, though.
I've been avoiding the news. Because I'm tired. I'm so tired. But I need me some Skux Life. And I'll follow that up with Thor. And I assume by then I'll be passed out. Of just straight joy. And cocaine. I'm also taking a lot of cocaine. It's good. It's a hell of a drug. Rick James. I'm Rick James. Right. So it's Thump approved. Everyone should go watch First Man. Douglas doesn't like it, but he doesn't like these type of movies. It's like me saying I don't like musicals. Just ignore him and move on. speaking of ignoring people, moving on.
Hold on. You need to go last.
All right, fine.
You need to go last.
Fair enough.
Andrew, what have you been watching this week?
I'm ready to fight. I don't know what's going on here. I want to get to the meat of the matter. Oh, okay. All right. I guess all I'll really talk about is I got around to seeing Destroyer, the new Nicole Kidman film.
I'm so jealous. How good is that?
By Karen Kusama, the lady who gave us the invitation.
Yes. Not to cut, Andrew. Have you seen... The only thing I saw from the news. Did you see the amount of snow that attacked Karen?
Oh, yes. And guess what? That was the day of my shitty exam. So I was walking around in the snow while I had to go to my exam.
No. Niagara Falls froze. There's the snow fell for one day, and there's security footage of outside buildings where it went from 0 to 3 foot of snow in a day. I was watching, I'm like, oh, you get to watch movies early? Good luck. Yeah, good luck with that. Negative 35. Woo! No. Nope. Still no. You guys call me when the sun comes back. Oh. All right. You're talking about Nicole Kidman and her good movie.
Nicole Kidman. It's good. I really like this movie, and I feel this is a movie that I don't really want to talk about too much because there's a lot that you kind of have to discover watching this film. All I can say is this movie definitely... Well, I don't think it 100% got there. Actually, let me be better about that. It probably only got 70% along the way. It definitely warmed me up to go and watch some Korean films this week.
Korea.
Right? Nicole Kidman does a job. Bucky Barnes is in this movie, and he has a lot less to do, but it's nice to see him in something that isn't Marvel.
I just figured he was a CG person.
It's weird because I remember seeing the trailers, and you guys can go and watch this and let me know if it tricked you as well. But every time I saw him, I swore that was Green Arrow. Right? It was until I actually watched the movie that I'm like, wait, no, that's not Green Arrow. That is Winter Soldier. I'll only call them by their comic book names.
For two frames in one of the next Marvel movies. Just to see if people could tell.
But yeah, it is a gritty cop movie in which she is finding out the bad people, and it's flashing back and forth between the time when she was undercover to now when the gang seems to have resurged and she's looking for her vengeance, and it's a pretty damn good movie. right? I feel at the same time, though, I need to temper that a little bit, because this is a pretty damn good movie where you can tell there's a budget, right? Yeah. Where it's not, this feels like early Chris Nolan, right? Rather than getting into late stage Dave Fincher gritty cop movies, mm-hmm. to kind of give you a gauge as to where we're going with this.
Okay.
But yeah, like as long as it keeps focusing on the main point, that being Nicole Kidman and how good she is, which is 90% of the movie, it's pretty damn good.
That's it? That's all you've seen?
That's all I've really seen. I mean, oh, wow. I mean, we did talk like a few days ago.
That's true.
Yeah. I mean, I rewatched Allied and I still like that movie.
Yeah.
You're wrong. You're a wrong person.
You remember I don't know how that movie isn't good?
I remember.
And it's actively a bad.
Yeah.
And very boring. Mm-hmm. And you didn't realize they were going to, like, wasn't it 40 minutes in when you're just like, oh yeah, we're spies? Or some mad, like, it's just like, listen, Brad Pitt and Scott Yard, right?
Yeah.
They're beautiful people. Boy, that movie sucks.
I started rewatching Brooklyn Nine-Nine, and that movie looks really rough at the beginning.
Brooklyn Nine-Nine, the movie?
Uh-huh. Yeah, the movie, Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Brooklyn Nine-Nine. It's what he said.
Yeah.
Brooklyn Nine-Nine,
Andrew?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. He's rewatching. It's a long movie. In fairness, takes several hours.
Yeah. All right. So it sounds like Andrew's done. So I'm not going to say what movie I've watched this week, but let's just say that by this time, we should probably just start calling it the Unnamed Man from Uncle podcast.
Oh, okay.
So there's that.
Where's my part two?
Listen to me, no man.
Not happening. Not happening.
I really want one.
There's no justice in this world.
That's correct. And no, that's why Black Panther is nominated for Best Picture. In this world.
Mm-hmm. There's actually a League of Justice.
Oh, Justice?
Yeah.
Oh. Mm-hmm. You mean the Supreme Court? Bang! For so, all of you that didn't get that joke, A, shame on you. B, I'm better than you.
Also, remember how I was watching all three Indiana Jones movies the other day?
Yes.
No, I just want you guys to guess. I'll give each of you one guess. Mm-hmm. What is the most logical movie to then follow that up with? Damian?
The Star Wars.
Andrew?
Uncharted.
There's no Uncharted real movie. Not yet.
Aquaman.
Whatever.
Okay, if we're going with that. Exactly.
I just figured you'd go, I love Harrison Ford. Star Wars me, please.
So, I did this by accident.
Mm-hmm.
But it was the perfect follow-up. And it's really two movies that I've watched. I watched The Mummy and The Mummy Returns.
Oh, yeah.
Those are 100% Indiana Jones movies. And they're great.
Oh, listen, Letterboxd, I need you to change something on your thing.
Yeah.
Because when Douglas hits that he likes something,
mm-hmm.
it shows up as a heart.
Yes.
But I didn't realize that. I assumed that that meant, because I saw one heart, I was like, did Douglas give this one star?
Oh, yeah, no.
they need to find something better. Like, just put like a happy face or something.
Mm-hmm.
Because this heart thing, it's just like, Douglas can't not like The Mummy. Because I've met Douglas.
And the funny thing is, when The Mummy came out,
no, we've talked
I
about
hated
this
movie.
You've made a lot of terrible decisions.
Wait, what?
Perfect. You didn't know that. I really didn't like the first one. And then the second
like,
one.
I thought the sequels everyone was sort of lukewarm on. But like the first one, I thought everyone agreed.
No, yeah. Any rational person would have loved this movie. At, when did it come out? Maybe 16? I was not a rational person.
So here's the thing about The Mummy. My family, we love the first one. Mm-hmm. We love it. It's okay. It's real good. That second movie brought my family together.
Yeah, that second movie is great.
That second movie, we watched that.
as a family, and probably more than Lord of the Rings.
Pretty sure first movie The Rock was ever in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, a but harbinger boy. Of doom.
Yeah. Boy, though.
Like, that Anak Sunamun nonsense.
Oh.
Just for years. I can call my sister now and say Anak Sunamun, and we'll just be gone. It'll just be over anybody in my family. We
no,
really love that.
The question that I have to ask myself, because I still, mm-hmm. to this day, have not watched it. Should I watch the third one?
No, no.
No, don't do it. Don't do it.
Douglas, you know better. No.
As much as I love Jet Li popping up into random franchises, don't do it.
Don't.
Hey, Jet Li popped up into Lethal Weapon, and I like that movie.
Yeah, but you're wrong there, too.
I know I am.
The third one is... The fourth one, I mean. Why I hate Chris Rock. Anyways.
And, yeah. So, finally, there's a movie that I actually kind of half want to talk about, because I really liked it. I watched a movie by the name of The Last Castle. Andrew, do you know what this movie is?
I do.
Have you watched it?
I have seen it a very long time ago.
Yeah, it is a type of movie you would have watched. It stars Robert Redford and Tony Soprano. And essentially, Robert Redford is like a 5-star general, the best of the best.
Mm-hmm.
Who goes to prison? Who goes to military prison?
Oh, no.
And the military prison is run by Tony Soprano, James Gandolfini. And
listen, Tony Soprano.
Tony Soprano. And they kick off. And Robert Redford starts a mutiny and takes over the fucking prison.
Oh,
that's the movie.
I have seen this
That's
movie.
The movie.
I've seen this movie.
This movie is fucking great.
It is ridiculous.
It's so good. And the thing I love about this movie,
I'm watching the trailer. I've seen this movie.
That this movie is just what I would describe as a Robert Redford film.
Yep.
I feel like they're all like this. And I love them to death. Every time I watch a movie with Robert Redford in it, I remind myself how much I love Robert Redford and the shitty action movies, or not even action, but these kind of movies that he's in. Yes, Andrew.
You need to see The Old Man and the Gun.
I want to see it so hard.
You should see The Old Man and the Gun.
I really do. And I know that you guys are on polar opposites, but Andrew,
I think
I want to be on your side.
No sarcasm here. I think you'd like it.
Okay.
Here's the problem. this movie was 2001, 2 decades ago.
Mm-hmm.
I was willing to give him. He's 100 years old.
Yes, but
it does not track.
All right.
The name of the movie is The Old Man.
Wait, hold on.
You know how we are missing my take and three. We are all just.
One thing I'd say.
It's enough.
In his defense.
Yes.
What's your thoughts on All Is Lost?
No, listen. Douglas.
He was 98 at the time.
Douglas, listen. The man is 10,000 years old. Old Man and the Gun.
It has the word old man in the title.
But you remember the third Tukun? When they Tukun them a third time? And he was unable to run. And yes. There were so many camera cuts here. Just like, you guys have to stop making this movie. All right, you're going to kill this man. Enough is enough.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I felt the entire time with Old Man and the Gun.
Oh,
I was like,
no.
All right, listen. Guys, listen. It's cute that you keep doing this. Listen. It is not... My objection is not Robert Redford being in movies. I saw the movie Andrew saw, where Robert Redford is on the screen for 80% of the movie, doing his shtick. It's just not good anymore. Like, I'm not. I don't want it anymore. But you could watch it and love it. No doubt. No doubt. But yeah, I think you should. Because if you're this horny for that movie.
This movie's good.
Then you should, you should keep up your Redford bono.
Mm-hmm.
If it lasts more than 3 hours, you need to see a doctor.
Yeah, it's great. Andrew, what you like the movie? What do you think of this movie?
I have forgotten my opinion of that movie, other than it's a Robert Redford movie, and I guess I like it.
Yeah, I was looking at the trailer and I was just like, I don't think. And then saw the trailer and saw all the people in there. Mm-hmm. I remember this movie.
Yeah,
like Douglas, you know how long I kept going on like I love Spy Game, and I still love that movie. I imagine this is another version of Spy Game, just in prison now.
Yeah, Spy Game is pretty great. I really like Robert Redford. I don't think that I've seen a movie with him in it that I don't like.
You've loved him from Butch Cassidy and The Sundance Kid.
Yeah.
And you will continue to love him for all of your days. Mm-hmm. Listen, here's how much I like that man. I watch Walk in the Woods.
Ooh, which one is that?
The one from a couple of years ago. I'll show you the poster.
All right. I remember the name of that. I didn't actually watch it.
I didn't watch that one. All right, but cool.
I think Damien warned me about watching.
Yeah. Yes, I did.
You did remind me, though, that I did watch a movie of his that I wasn't too pleased with. And it was a recent one. And it had somebody in it, like a Shia LaBeouf or a Topher Grace, somebody like that.
Mm-hmm.
And Britt Marling was in it, too. And it had I don't think it was spies, but there was definitely a conspiracy going on. And it wasn't so great. But I blamed it on the young fella.
Yeah, you know, I refuse to blame Robert.
Are you talking about Truth? Which maybe? Has Topher Probably. Grace, and it's about something to do with the 60 Minutes report, and Robert Redford is playing Dan Rather.
No.
Because I'm looking at the list here right now, and I'm seeing Topher Grace is in the movie. I'm seeing Elizabeth Moss.
No, Britt Marling is in the movie that I'm thinking of.
You guys remember Pete's Dragon?
Yep. Again, that's a children's movie. No count.
Anyways, what were we talking about?
We were talking about what we've watched. And now, we've got to the finale, the grand finale. Damien White.
Yeah.
Please enlighten us. What have you watched?
Oh, I've been watching sports.
Oh, have you?
Yeah, just sports.
Okay, great.
And with that, the podcast is...
Is there perhaps something else that you watched?
I did see one movie 2 times. Since the last time we spoke.
Really? That means you probably... Do you like this movie?
I like it a lot. Like, a lot. So much so, I'd say it's one of the top 10 movies of 2018.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's interesting. I don't recall it being on anybody's top 10.
Yeah, someone told me it was okay. But not even good enough to win a both teams played hard.
Really? Who said that?
Someone, Andrew Cornelius Robinson, I think is his name.
Did somebody else perhaps have a dissenting opinion?
Someone did, but it wasn't strong enough. Someone said, nah-uh, and Andrew hand-waved it away.
Yes. You know what? I do recall... well, I think there were a few movies like that, but what... Is this some sort of movie in particular that we could speak
about? Benjamin Gordon.
Yes.
Made a movie.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
Yes. And what was... pray tell, what was that movie called?
It was directed by... I just need to get this right. It was released June 29th in the United Kingdom.
Okay.
2018.
Yeah. You can't just say Leave No Trace.
By Deborah Granick. It made no money. And it was called Leva No Trace.
Trace.
No Trace. Andrew Robinson, what the fuck? Huh? What the actual fuck? Andrew.
Hi.
How many times have you seen this movie? I assume just the one time when you were drunk and high off. I don't even know what you were high off.
Yep, I'm high off The First Madness.
Andrew Robinson, this movie, like when you said the Winter's Bone lady made another movie like it, I was just like, I haven't heard jack shit about this movie, so it can't be that good.
And I still went in with high expectations because I love Ben Foster. Always like Ben Foster. You don't know who Ben Gordon is, a basketball player. That's why there's no laughter, and I hate all of you people very much. Just don't talk to me. So I'm just going to refer to his actual name.
Well, I knew what you were doing, yes, but I didn't know.
You had no idea.
No,
I was going to continue with Ben Franklin also, but so it's not worth it because the first joke. I forgot that you guys have no idea who Ben Gordon is. Anyways.
You did say Cornelius.
So. This movie started, and within 5 minutes, I was just like, I don't know what the hell the rest of this movie is, but I am down. And the movie just kept on getting better and better and better. Everybody is spectacular in this movie. This movie is without fault. How is this movie not on our top 10? Mr. Robinson, I even went Hello. Back and listened to you shrug your way through this. Meh. So, Andrew, what on earth? This movie is tremendous.
Sell me the movie. Tell me the movie you saw.
All right. So, this director made Winter's Bone. Have you ever seen Winter's
that's,
Bone?
No, that's the movie that wasn't this movie. Tell me this one.
Right. So, and then she said, what if I make Winter's Bone again and just change up some of the characters? And this movie, Ben Foster is a retired soldier. I mean, retired. And he clearly has some issues. And he and his daughter are living in the woods, but their relationship is great. He's the most comfortable when he's away from the world. He wants to fend for himself. He doesn't want to give anything to them. He doesn't want to feel like he's contributing to what he sees as the downfall of society, right? He still participates. He's not like a caveman. He still understands that there's things that he needs. So they're going to town and whatnot. But he is trying to live a life with his daughter in solitude, away from everybody. But he understands that what he's doing, a lot of people won't agree with. And so the movie really takes off when they're caught and they're taken to live with other people. He's taken. And you quickly realize that while his daughter, she's about 40, like she's in her early teens. While she loves her father, she has an easier time assimilating than he does, because the problems, and she even says it at one point in the movie, she's like, your problems with the world aren't my problems. And that is what the movie is about. It's about these two people trying to cope with the decisions of it's only the father's decision, because the daughter is simply going along. But she really loves him. And the movie is watching the relationships that they have both together and apart. And every single relationship is done well. The movie, even though this man is bitter and hates the world, that is not the vibe you get from the movie. The movie isn't angry. Because there's a duopoly. There's the girl who is just going with the flow, and then there's him. And at no point does the movie tell you which one is right or which one is wrong. The movie treats you like an adult at all times, and you just get to watch these two people and the struggles they're having to just live with one another. And the movie is amazing from start to end. Andrew described this movie, and at the end of the movie, I almost called you. That is how much I enjoyed the movie. I was going to call you and just go, what the fuck are you talking about? I said, you know what? No. And today, when work was over, I was just like, you know what? I feel like watching this movie. Like, I'd seen the movie maybe 48 hours. ago. And I was just like, I want to watch this movie again. And started watching the movie again. And when Douglas called me halfway through the movie, part of me was a little upset. That is how good this movie is. This movie is like Winter's Bone. It is so well crafted that it is almost without fault. Like, there's, if you can find problems with this movie, you'd have to go like cinema sins level where you're just nitpicking shit that all move. But nothing about this movie lends itself for you to go, I don't think, or like, it is just good.
And I think the best part of this movie is just how Lars von Trier-esque it yes. is.
Yeah.
In the sense that, so there's everything that Damon has said is right.
Mm-hmm.
And I appreciate it definitely to a lesser scale than Damon, but I appreciate it. But what I really appreciated from that movie was that everything that happens in that film is a wind-up. It is just preparing you for the heart-crushing ending that
yes.
they present. And
this movie benefits from you. If you like Lars von Trier, you will like the shit out of this movie. Because
I do not see how Lars von Trier ties into this at all.
Well, just because he, one of the things that he does,
the movie doesn't have to end the way it does.
Yeah,
it is a decision.
Yeah, I think Lars doesn't do this with all his movies, but when he does it hard. Where the whole movie may be whatever it is.
Right.
You may not like it. You may kind of say to yourself, why am I going through this slog?
But it is but in then, service of
right, exactly.
the final
yeah,
thing.
Yeah. So it's a very small thing to compare, but
yeah.
you know.
Okay.
But when you like a thing like Lars, you try and find it in everything.
Yes.
Andrei, even for you, I don't see where this movie fell down. Like, you didn't really go into it, but I don't. This is one of those where, when I finish watching the movie, I try to think about what Andrew saw going into this movie. But this movie does all of the things Andrew likes. Like, he should have had a field day, like, creating the world where, oh, how long did they stay out in the open? What else did they have to... Like, Andrew loves world building and all of that kind of stuff. And everything else from my point where it's just like the story is tight, the acting is great, they treat everyone with a measure of respect. They're not like hand-holding us through these situations. All of that played. And so for Andrew to come here and he's just like, just make cat noises into the mic to describe the movie. It's just so weird. So very weird. I love this movie. Like, this movie, it feels like even when you use Winter's Bone as a benchmark, this movie still feels special. Like, she's done this before, and it still feels remarkable that she's able to do it again. And I don't get it, Andrew. Explain yourself.
Show my workings. Okay,
yes.
Cool.
Yes. Show your workings.
You have to carry the four. Right,
we're going to use that for the remainder of this podcast. Go in perpetuity. Right? Both teams played hard. Show your workings. So
so, and the thing about this movie for me, I think mainly, was that once you got past the first like 5-10 minutes of figuring out what this movie is, you know, as you talk about the veteran who's stuck in the woods and refuses to participate in the economy, and he has his daughter with him, and while there's nothing intrinsically bad about that relationship, it's actually very mm-hmm. positive. there are many things as you see the narrative of the movie proceed. You can see where all of those questions anyone looking at this from the outside would ask is simply asked of this, really, of this setup. They're like, cool, you're in the woods, but, like, do you want to be in the woods? Right, like, we got rabbits over here. Aren't they cute?
Yes.
And I think they the thing cute. For me is that once I got out of that first 10 minutes where I knew where the movie was and you see them get captured, get taken. I don't know how long it was, but it felt like it was like the first 15 minutes. I could be wrong. The every step that was taken after that point.
Yes.
None of it surprised me. Everything about it felt okay. It felt like it did the thing it was going to do, right? And it there was, which is why even when I talked about it on the end of your podcast, I talked about the points that I did like, which were the points that felt to me the non-scripted points, right? The points where she walks around and she meets a beekeeper. And everything about that felt fresh to me just because I didn't expect to see that scene, but it was it was nice for me to see that scene because it felt warm and sweet, and I like that, right? But the rest of this movie, as it relates to just the progression of the story of this man and his daughter and what happens in this scenario, like everything about that felt like, yeah, I figured that, and it just felt like I was going through the motions with the movie, and it just personally didn't connect with me, right? Like, am I to tell you that they didn't have good acting? That'd be a lie. It had great acting. Am I to tell you that Deborah Granik doesn't know how to build, how to make this world look like it's lived in and like these people belong there? Of course she does. But this movie just didn't connect with me. And that's the only reason why I hand wave it away. Right? And I hand waved it away not in a way to say, Douglas, you're wrong. But more importantly, to say, if you're asking for my vote, you're not getting it.
Well, I veto your non-vote.
We've actually spoken about this, Andrew. We're replacing Roma with this
movie. Specifically Roma, though. The other movie that can't stay. It's called Breaking. Breaking can't stay. Roma, though, has got to go.
That's all right.
We're replacing it with Leave No Trace.
Andrew, I've always, secretly, I think I would be able to like live out in the woods. But then the other part of my brain, the part with sense, goes, but there's no internet there. And you've spent maybe 3 minutes or you'd die. You'd be dead.
Also, Damien, the mattress in the woods.
Yeah.
Not very good. Right.
Like, I know nothing about survival. Like, I can't build shit.
You'd find those phantom thread mushrooms really quick.
Like, yeah, like, I am not built. I don't even like when I go to what we in Jamaica call country, which is just not a city. Like, I'm barely managing. When I leave out of our urban centers. So there's literally no, but the appeal of never, ever dealing with other humans is so appealing. Somewhere deep down, I want it. I think that's part of the reason I love cowboy movies. Because somewhere deep down, I truly want to leave all of this behind and go like build a ranch somewhere and have everyone go straight to hell. And so just watching a man who that is what he wants and to what society look at him and go, absolutely not. But he still has to, you know, try and do what's best for his daughter. And watching his daughter just go with, like, she's smart enough to, like, be able to see the benefits of both sides, but she loves her father enough that, and just watching all of it play out, and then that ending, just, Perfect. Oh boy. God, I love this movie.
And so just listening to you talk about it is making me love this movie.
And more. I'm frustrated because no one gives Ben Foster the props he deserves. He is one of our best working actors. But he isn't given, like, he's not given, like, the first men of the world. He's not given the super high budget. They're just like, listen, Ben Foster will sell the shit out of this movie. And I get it, he won't. He won't. None of his movies do gangbusters. But holy shit, if he isn't better than so many of our working actors. He's incredible.
I mean, he was in Warcraft.
All right, I'm going to come off of this podcast.
I've turned off Andrew's mic, and what we were really saying is that he is in 310 to Yuma.
Yeah, as do you remember how many scenes he was? Shooting. All right, as Foghorn Leghorn. Like, he was the rootin' tootin'est, gun shootin'est. So good. Like, every time you saw him in that movie, you're just like, bad shit is about to happen, and it is the complete opposite. Like, he's trying so hard. He's like, you see that he's pushing back against his anger the entire movie. He's just like, I don't want to be that person, but this world that we've built, that I have fought for, sucks. And I don't want to do it anymore. And boy, I love this movie. I just want Andrew to apologize.
Waving it away.
But he won't. Yeah, he won't. I expect an apology at some point. It'll be years from now. When we're talking about Ben Foster movies. And he's just like, yeah, I love all of them. And he's going to wave it. And he's like, oh yeah, man. I like, yeah. And I love Leave No Trace. And he's going to say, and then I'm going to wait. Just sit here at this mic, just lowering my head, waiting for him to slip up and say he likes this movie, and then I'll get him. I'll attack. Because I'm wrong. And I know it.
Deep down inside.